Social validation is an interesting one. Like, you could, there's somebody you didn't like at work. Somebody comes up to him and says, "Are you sick? You look kind of sick. You feeling okay?" What do they say? "Oh, I'm okay." Then the second person, "Kind of green. Are you okay? Are you sick?" "No, I'm all right, really." Third person, "Hey, you look sick." And after about the fifth person, what happens? They go home sick. They go home sick. So, because we're not sure what to do, we look around. I think it was a flight to Maui. We fly into Maui in the afternoons with those winds. Planes going like this. Anyway, we hit this bump, and the flight attendant screamed. And she was sitting there, her knuckles were turning white, and she was shaking. Now, what did that do to the rest of the plane? Right? Whoa. We look for social validation when we're unsure to do things. Even things like toothpaste. When you look at toothpaste in the commercials, how much toothpaste do they put on there? And they curl it up at the end. Do you need that much? Or even shampoo. What doubled the sales? One word they added? Repeat. Rinse or lather, rinse, repeat. Isn't that amazing? So let's talk about social validation. We want to follow the social norm. There's only a small percent of people that'll go against the social norm. If there's a line, people get into it. At the Oakland airport, a lady came up to me, she started talking to me. Talk, 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 talk. And she says, is this the flight going to Denver? No. Oh, she just walked away. But there was a line, she got into it. That's just kind of what we do. And I was in, where was it? It was New York City. Was trying to see what Broadway show to see. So we're not sure which show to see, and no one's recommended anything. What do? We go to the one with the most awards. Social validation. So we picked this show that had won all these awards. And it was sitting there, expensive seats, and about just going, and about third way through, about 40 minutes into my mind, I don't get it. I don't like this. I think I'm gonna go. But then they're like, everyone else is staying. So maybe it's just me. And so when it was about halftime, or whatever, well, intermission. Intermission. See how much I go. Intermission. I'm thinking, I've got to go. I don't get it. Maybe it's just me. I mean, everyone else is staying. And then I was watching. I gave up on the show. I was just watching people. About 5 minutes towards the end of the show, I saw people walking down the aisle and picking up empty seats. That's strange. There's only 5 minutes left. They're coming now. But I was still watching. The show ended, and all these people, strategic locations, all stood up. And what did they do? Started clapping. No, they didn't leave. I wish I would have left. But they started clapping, and what did everyone else do? Started clapping. And what did I do? So I'm sitting there clapping going, is it me? Was it just me? No, it was like Fosse or something like that, or it was some deep. Yeah, so I'm sitting there clapping going, wait. There's a certain name for them, too. They're called, do we know what they're called? I can't remember what they're called. What's that? Standing ovators? I don't know. So we all want to belong. So let's talk about it. If your product you're selling is the most popular, the fastest selling, if you're the best real estate investor in North, Southwest, Henderson, that's a good thing. We can artificially inflate on the internet. You know, downloads. What's the number one reason something is downloaded? If you have a 20 to look to the old, the most popular one. You can take the worst one and make it number one, and that becomes the most popular. Number one. Fastest selling. Salting tip jars. Everyone know what that is? Yeah. You walk down the street, bartenders, even church collection plates, they always make sure to put some bills in. Or you just finish up a tour, you're on the bus, you're getting off, and all of a sudden, there's a little tip jar with money in it. You feel the need to give it. That's salting a tip jar. That's social validation. DVD stores and video stores. This is changing a little bit, but they were doing research trying to figure out how to increase profit in stores. The most profitable thing in the store is the old movies. And they watched videotapes of people coming in the stores, and a lot of people, and this was before they guaranteed returns, or guaranteed the movie was going to be there, would walk over to the return bin to see what? And someone else watched. And so what they do is they take the older movies and mix them in with the return bin and it increased their profit. You know, they go to the return bin, they're like, oh, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. must be good. Has anybody seen that movie? It is an actual movie. I'm not recommending it. It's one of those cult movies, I think. Donation plates, bookstores. What's the first thing you do when you walk into a bookstore? Bestseller. Is that enough? If Oprah recommends it, is that enough? Is that a guaranteed New York Times bestseller? Yes, it is. Standing ovation. Talked about that. When you go into a restaurant and it's empty, how does that make you feel? Something's wrong. And if you do stay, where are they going to seat you? By the window or outside. Just one of those things that we don't like. Crowds. I mean, do we act differently in crowds than we do by ourselves? We do. I was at a football game with crosstown rivals, and this guy brought on a bullhorn, one of those megahorns, and was taunting the other players. And he was having fun. He wasn't saying anything bad. He was going back and forth, and here comes the rent-a-cop. Sir. And he was sitting in the middle. You're going to have to leave. You can't have that. It's against the rules. And he said, no, I'm just having fun. Don't worry about it. The rent-a-cop saw. Then everyone else around that person started saying what? Go away. He's just having fun. Leave us alone. To the rent-a-cop. And what did the rent-a-cop do? Went away and left. And there's something we call bystander apathy. Have you ever heard that term before? What does that mean? You stand and watch. See, a lot of accidents, nobody ever called 911. Is it because we're bad people? Or we think what? Someone else will do it. They even did a study with students. They put them in a room with one person in the room taking a test, and they pumped smoke underneath the doors to see if that person would do anything. Right? And most of the time they would what? Go get help. But when there was five people in the room taking a test, and there was four Confederates, so four people who were not going to move no matter what, to see if that other person would move, and most of the time that person wouldn't move, because what? The other people didn't do it. But in your accident, you should point to somebody if you're still coherent. You'll call 911. Call 911. Sometimes we're walking around. Some people could be having a heart attack in the park, but everyone's walking by because no one else stopped. Or Catherine Genovese. Remember that story from New York? She was attacked like five times in an alley. And the attacker kept coming back. A light would come on, scare off. Something would happen, scare them off, and come back, and eventually killed her. And everyone said, all those New Yorkers are just mean and evil. But when they did research, what did they find out? Everybody thought what? Someone else had called. When we're in groups, we act differently. There was a suicide jumper on one of the bridges in Seattle. People were late for work. It was rush hour. They stopped all the traffic. People were rolling down their windows. And what they were saying? Jump! Get it over with! I'm late for work! What are you doing? Now, one-on-one, we probably wouldn't do that, but in a group or a sporting event or a concert, we act differently. Now, the sad thing is she jumped. The good thing is she survived. But that's still kind of one of those things that we really don't want to talk about, but it happened. The social validation? Sure, EMI has their awards. They have, was it millionairehalloffame.com? Where there's thousands of testimonials and billions of dollars made. That's the social validation. If they can do it, I can do it. I remember attending one of the events, and I can't remember her name. She's from the East Coast. She was legally blind. I think she walked across the stage for a $2 million award. Do you remember her name? You just remember seeing that? Yeah. But then you say, wait a minute. If she could do it, there was a lady from Singapore. Her husband left her with three children and no money. It was like a $3 million award. So that's part of that. Well, wait a minute. If they can do it, I can do it. Now let's take a look at this. Social validation. Right here says you have two options. $4.95 a month or $4.95. And where's the one thing that doubled their $4.99 sales? This is their most popular option. Oh, okay. Boom. Now let's look at this guarantee. We've talked a lot about guarantees. Tell me if this is good, bad, ugly, if you'd make any changes. No risk, 100% money back guarantee. Use our service for an entire year at absolutely no risk. If you're not completely satisfied with the value of the service you receive, just let us know, and at the end of your term, we'll properly refund your full investment. Like it? Good? Solid? And you say what? Everything to gain? That's a pretty good guarantee. Pretty good guarantee. Oh, this is our CEO's most popular option. That's a good point. Yeah, this is my wife's favorite option right here, if you pick this week. We eat better at night, so if you please pick that, we'd be appreciated. That's a good point. Blood drives. When there was social validation, other people going in, people saw photos of other people giving blood. What percent of the population gives blood? Very low, isn't it? I think that's 10-50% is what I was thinking. Now, why don't people give blood? Someone else will give. Is it scary? You got a needle in your arm? Isn't the free cookies worth it to you? I was giving blood. And I was talking to the person, as we talk about, that's when there's a lot of fear there, isn't there? It's not pleasant. You're giving back, but a lot of people won't do it because of the needles. I was talking to the person who says, well, you know, when you give blood, and I can't remember the number, but it was astounding. It was like you're like 75% less likely to have a heart attack by giving blood. It was something astounding like that. I'm like, is that true? How come I've never heard that before? Well, I don't know. Has anybody heard that statistic before? Oh, it's not true? Someone have heard it? Not true? Well, whether true or not, he said it was true. And I'm thinking, why don't they advertise that? Wouldn't that help more people give blood? Because in my mind, giving blood's like an oil change. You know, take some out, get some new blood in there, you're good to go. That's how I think about it. And that's how he kind of explained it to me. You're getting new blood and you're changing your oil. So whether it's true or not, that would be a good thing. Well, hopefully it's true. You don't think it's true? It was a high number. I'm just throwing this out. It was like 75% less likely to have a heart attack than those who don't give blood. It's good for your heart. It's good for nothing. Again, I'm throwing it out. But I was astounded that I had never heard it, if they're trying to get people to give blood. So it's just something to think about, that they should be advertising that. They should be using that for social validation. Authority power. Let's talk about authorities. Social validation. It's interesting here in Vegas with social validation. What's social validation when you see when you go to the casinos? Are those casinos, is that a science? Do they know when you walk through that door exactly how much money they're going to make off you on average? Oh, yeah. It's a whole science. Have you ever been in a casino and couldn't find your way out? Couldn't find a clock? Couldn't find a door? Caesar's Palace comes to mind. I think they're the worst. You're in their shopping mall. You can't find a way out. If it rains outside, they filter the air so you can't smell it. You can't see the sunlight. The carpet is what? Very loud and obnoxious. Kind of hard to look at because they don't want you looking at the floor. They want you looking at the machine. And the machines that have the highest success rate, what I'm told, are near the doors. So they when they ding and they whistle, people can see that. And even she's a blackjack dealer, and she's also a real estate investor. She was telling me that when you deal with blackjack, they have, I think it's called a shrill. Does that make, anybody know what that is? A shill? Is that what it is, shill? But they have fake players. Because nobody really wants to play alone. They want to play with somebody else. And really interesting, too, is when you have two guys and two girls playing next to each other, and the two girls leave, what are the two guys going to do? Assuming they don't know the girl. Still follow. Well, let's say they're winning, and that's more important than following the girls. What are the two guys? So there's four seats, two girls, two guys. They do. They'll separate. But if the two guys leave, the two girls are sitting together. What will they do? They'll stay together. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of proximic to males and females and how different we are. Vegas is interesting. So we have a natural urge to follow greater authorities. Been taught our whole life. Follow authorities. Now, do some people have authority before it's time? Where are some places you're very obedient but don't like the person? DMV? What's that? Work sometimes? Have you ever gone through immigration or something like that? And you just, doctors? When you're getting a ticket? Airport security, wow. I was at LAX, I was getting a flight to Singapore, and they were doing the little sniffer thing, and all the bells and whistles went off. Swarm, swarm, swarm. So they pull me aside, and how do they treat you? They pulled the guilt through my wallet, through my passport, they wouldn't give it to me, and they were just, what did they do with the suitcase? Were they nice? Were they just flipping through things, and guess what they found? Nothing. But guess what I learned? That Well, first of all, they treated me rotten. But when you use lotion in the hotel rooms, it has glycerin in it. Cheap lotion has glycerin, and so it comes up on their knees as nitroglycerin. When you pull on the handle, you know, when they were up on the handle. So if there's someone you don't like, no. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Like, did you use any lotion? I'm like, yeah, I had some lotion on my hand. That's what it was. But just how they treat you. But this is a thought. We have greater title and authority. So let's talk about the different types. Do we have a clock back there? How are we doing on time? Yeah, there's no clocks here. Another little while. We'll get a break here in about 10 minutes. Is that okay? Is there one? You ever know the experiment with Stanley Milgram? I have an audio clip if you want to hear. But what he did, they don't allow this type of study anymore because it causes psychological damage. But he put an ad in the paper for people to come in for this test. So he was there in a white coat, and we all know what a white coat does. And there was a partition where there was a teacher or the person coming in that was being studied, and there was somebody on the other side that they would meet. And what would happen, they'd have to answer a question. If they got the question wrong, they'd be shocked. 2/3 of the people went all the way up to 450 volts. They didn't want to do it. They were laughing nervously. The person told me they had a heart attack. Even when the person on the other side of the thing they couldn't see stopped screaming, they were still shocking them. And then they're like, no, I don't want to go any further. And the person in the white coat would say, it's part of the study. It's okay. Keep going. Isn't that amazing? 2/3. Everyone know 450 volts is not good for you? 2/3 went all the way to 450 volts, even when they were nervous. The person said, my heart, it's hurting me, please don't. He's all, should I stop? No, keep going. And they just shocked him. In fact, the video doesn't exist anymore, but I think I have an audio clip here. Hold on, let's see if we can find it. Here we go. Just the audio back there, see if we can hear it.
The experiment requires that you continue teaching.
I'm not going to get that man sick of that.
I'm not going to
do that.
I know the owner likes
it
or not. We must.
I refuse to take the responsibility of getting hurt in there. You know, I'm not
going to.
I mean, he's under hollering.
It's absolutely essential that you continue teaching.
This will be 195 volts. The correct one.
Let me out of here.
Slow.
Isn't that amazing? Now remember that person screaming was an actor. Yeah. The people, they would laugh nervously. They didn't know what to do. They were sweating. And these were business people. Most of them were business people. With the white coat, kept them, and that's kind of a natural reaction. So on the bad side, but it'll also be good. Once they accept you as the expert, they're easily persuaded. We talked about co-pilots not saying something to the pilot. They did studies, and 25% of the accidents could have been avoided if the co-pilot would have said something. You're sitting there, and now I'm getting kind of close. The pilot knows what he's doing. He's getting really close. You're starting to see the mountain goats on the mountain. Did you say anything? Some of them didn't. Title. We talked astronaut in the first day. Remember the nurse study? There's a doctor, CEO, titles are very important. We talked about estrogen. The funny one, too, there's this patient within the hospital had a very severe earache, a very, very severe earache, and then the doctor just wrote something down to administer this drug. And the doctor said, please administer this drug in the patient's right ear. Guess where it went? Now, if you would think about it, someone's in there with an earache, that's not where the medicine should go, but sometimes there's just a knee-jerk reaction, like, yeah. I don't know. Uniform, that's right, doctor said it. Uniform, is that part of it too? Policeman's uniform, your suit, how you're dressed is part of your uniform. In New York City, Here's an amazing one. They would tell people to pick up trash when they're in a uniform or put give someone a quarter for the meter. More people would do it. Even when someone's in a milkman's uniform, a white uniform, they're more likely to do it. There's just something about a uniform. The donations, too, the red light contributions, you know, when the firemen are going around with their boot, when they're dressed, they get a lot more money than if they were in plain street clothes. Still no characteristics. We talked about CEOs, something about being tall. Personal ads, when it says tall, the more people will call it. You know, just deep voice comes across as more authoritative. Can you deepen your voice? Maybe a little. Warmer liquids do that sometimes on a temporary basis. Professor. What's that? No. No, just like if you're speaking, you drink warmer liquids, it'll sometimes lower your voice a little bit. Two students showed up to a professor's office. They were doing a study. One student showed up to the messy office. Remember the clean office? Did that affect it? We didn't talk about it, so did we? So the students show up to be interviewed by the professor before class even starts. Half the students showed up to a very messy, cluttered office, and the other half of the students showed up to a very clean, organized office. And they wanted to see if that would affect the evaluations at the end of the semester about this professor. Did it? Yes, it did, dramatically. And this is what you can do if you're not tall enough. I read someplace that tall employees get better pay and faster promotions. There's always a solution. Always a solution. And then we're going to get off into separation. But I'm thinking you need a break. Is that true? All right, let's take a 5-minute break, and we'll finish up with this next. All right, any questions so far? We're going deep into the pool of dissonance. Now, separation, well, it's okay here, we're not okay, other people can do it. It's also something that we call the itch. Now, I don't have many network marketers in the room. Have you ever talked to them about your company, and they're, hey, yeah, I should do this, I should have a home-based business, and you call them a week later, and they joined the $39 network marketing company instead of your $1,000 network marketing company. Happens quite a bit, doesn't it? See, what happens is you created an itch. Wow, I should have a home-based business. And then when you create that itch, a lot of people will solve it with the cheapest way possible. Does that make sense? We see this with tax liens. I've done a lot of consulting with people doing tax liens. Anybody done tax liens before? You ever seen anybody do a presentation on tax liens? Like Ted Thomas? So Ted Thomas is up here. I know Ted. And he's doing his presentation on tax liens, pacing and leading. What you want to do is your pace, lead. So what that means is, pacing is you're saying three truths, three things they're going to accept as true, and then a lead is something you want them to accept. This is also part of neurolinguistic programming. So, you would, again, 3-1, three paces, something that you know they accept as true. So we say, most people would love to be financially free and end their money worries forever. Is that something that's pretty true for most people? Okay. And then we'd do it two or three, another couple more times, and the lead would, the answer to your financial problem is providing the right training at the right time by the right person. Pace, lead. Pace, something you want them to accept. Pace. Okay. Pacing and leading. So 3-1, something they accept the truth. You want to save your home. You want to spend more time with your children. You want to vacation more. You want to tell your boss off. You want to work from home. You want all those type of things. Those could all be paces. You want to get back on your feet financially. You want to save your home. All right. Then is embedded commands. Have you noticed on internet sites how some words are underlined or they're a different color, they're italics? That's an embedded command. Because it kind of reaches out to your subconscious mind, and your conscious mind really doesn't pick it up all the time. It could be a different color. They're short, so they're very concise. Like, have a Pepsi day. What's the embedded command? Have a Pepsi. Italicized, bold, underlined, highlight, could be all different pieces of embedded command. And that's a challenge with people do with children. When we say, don't forget, What are you programming them to do? Don't crash. Don't be stupid. Now, one thing as we talk about expectations I want you to write down is this little thing in the bottom of your email that says, thanks in advance. It goes a long way. That little thing. Just write that down. Thanks in advance. Thanks in advance. So instead of saying, don't forget, what should you say? Please remember. Don't break that. Don't get nervous. Those are all commands. So I've given you a list there at the bottom of that page of different embedded commands. Become wealthy. Use this material. Feel good. Act now. Read each word. Follow my lead. All different things you'll see, especially on the internet. What it does is it communicates the subconscious mind and has been proven to be very powerful. Just a little change, a bold, italicized, is an embedded command. All right? Any questions on dissonance? So your job is, if you look at the next page, is to just think about how are you going to apply these. De-dissonification. Is that a real world? No, I made it up, but it sounds good. De-dissonification. So if someone goes in denial, how are you going to solve that? Someone's going to get the itch. How do you solve that? And that's what that worksheet is. You can go back and fill that out later. All right. Let us turn to page 27. How are we doing on time? I don't have a clock up here. All right, where are we at? Do you guys find it? Deception? 27 is what I have. I think so. Does that say detecting deception? There we go. Deception. Are we good at reading people? Can you read people like a book? Can you tell when they're lying to you? Can you tell when you've lost them? Can you tell when they're just giving you the pretending to like you? Let's talk about human emotions. Let's understand human nature, because we're very highly emotional creatures. So let's talk about how does the mind work? That little diagram there. We've got our brain here. We've got, how's our brain programmed? Where's it coming from? Society, right? There's nature, there's nurture, programming, beliefs, experience. All those things come into play. We've got our conscious and our subconscious minds. Our conscious mind tends to be our logical mind. Our subconscious mind tends to be our subconscious or emotional mind. Now, one of the things we notice as we study millionaire psychology is the programming of the subconscious mind. Now, as you look at success and study millionaires, isn't it interesting that most millionaires spend 20 to 30 minutes alone with their thoughts a day? Do you take time to be alone with your thoughts? Important, isn't it? Do your thoughts, does your subconscious mind ever tell you things you don't want to hear? A lot. Do you listen? Hopefully. Don't have to answer that. But it does. There's our subconscious mind. They do come together. We have to understand both. We talked about persuasion, 95% being a subconscious trigger. It just feels right. And that, so our thoughts from our brain, all those things trigger our different thoughts. Our thoughts are always working. Now, thoughts can be either positive or negative, can't they? Now, a lot of people think positive thinking, that's a good thing, that you should never have a negative thought. But the reality is, if you're ever going to have a day and not feel like doing the things you don't need to do, are you ever going to have a negative thought pop into your brain? So, what's the difference between a millionaire and someone that's stuck in poverty between that with that negative thought? It's what you do with it. If you give it energy, it's going to destroy you. But if you replace it with something, that's the key, is to replace it. So we have our thoughts. So our thoughts control our emotions. It's important. Our thoughts control your emotions. Emotions, a judgment, evaluation, or interpretation of a thought. It's how we interpret the thought. Triggers our emotions. And those emotions can trigger a feeling, which is a learned response. So if we feel love, we could feel, our emotion is love, we could feel calm. If we feel angry, we could feel stupid. If the emotion is resentment, we could feel disappointed. That emotion could also trigger an attitude, which tends to be recorded or stored. Attitudes come from our expectations. Our attitude when somebody cuts us off. A certain reaction. And then there's mood. Emotions can trigger mood, which lasts longer than emotion, but they have a lower intensity as far as what your mood is. And they all trigger your actions. So in a nutshell, what I'm saying here is that your thoughts control your emotions control your actions. Period. This is true with your prospect. This is true for you. This is just fundamental human nature, human psychology. Thoughts control your emotions. Emotions control your actions. So if you want to change somebody, you need to change their thoughts. If you want to change your future, you need to change your thoughts. Now, emotional intelligence, we talked about Dr. Goleman. Remember the book I brought up? This is what he says. Don't need to write it down. Just take a look at it. He says, understanding emotions is more pertinent to leading a successful life than having a high intelligence. We're all stuck on this IQ thing, but it's really reading people, understanding people, and sensing something. That's why we're learning to listen with our eyes, our ears, and our heart. So having a high EQ, which is an emotional quotient, is a great indication of your emotional literacy. What do you do when you're angry? See, most people don't know what their emotions are doing. Their emotions are way out of whack. Why do we watch so much TV? What about drug use? Is that a lack of emotional mastery? Only 5% of people that take cocaine get addicted. Why do people get addicted to drugs? They're trying to what? Escape reality. They want to deal with emotion. They have more confidence and they have more empathy. Now, there's an interesting one. Are we empathetic? What's the difference between empathy and sympathy? Yeah. You have an experience. So empathy, you really... Now, sympathy and empathy really open the doors of persuasion. So sympathy is, oh, I'm sorry your cat got run over. I'm sorry. Versus empathy, it's happened to you. It happened to you. Really increased. Especially foreclosure. That's why Carrie Nelson Bell was so good with real estate and so good with foreclosure. She was just so naturally empathetic, naturally caring. Very successful. So our emotions, are they good or bad? Yes. They're like the gauges in the car telling us what's going on inside. So when we're angry, there's a response. Blood comes to our fist, doesn't it? For what? The fight. We can't help it. It just automatically happens. We get angry, blood leaves the brain and goes to different parts of our body. That's when we try to persuade an angry person, there's not a lot of blood in the brain, which means they're not thinking very logically, which means all your arguments just don't work because there's no blood there. It's left the brain. It's going to other parts. When you feel fear, blood rushes to your legs. Yeah? You're ready to run. It's automatic. You can't stop it. It just happens when you feel fear. When you feel happiness, there's different parts of the brain where things just don't matter. Bad things just don't matter. You just feel better. Or when you feel surprised, things happen to your retina where you're attracting more information, you're gathering more information. It's just a natural response. Now, what I want to point out is, are emotions addicting? Yes, they are. When you have these certain emotions, they release different neuropeptides and other things in your brain to where if you feel they get angry a lot, they could be addicted to emotion. Depression, is that addicting? Yes. So a lot of these emotions we have, if you have a lot of them, they could be very addicting because they secrete different things and your body wants it more and more and more. Now, emotional thermometer, sometimes we have overlapping beliefs.
Let's get this one down. Our minds are always replaying memories, guilts, and fears. Always happening. Something's always going on.
Logic will not change an emotion, but action will. Changing scenery, going for a walk. And the emotional mind's always right, isn't it? Doesn't matter what logic says, the emotional mind's always right. So when somebody's angry, what can you do? Agree? Distracted? Yeah, I was going to this company, and I could hear an argument going on. And I knew these people pretty well. And I went up to the stairs, but they didn't even see me. They were so into their argument, they didn't even see me. And there was a box, a small box on top of the stairs, and I just kicked it down. And what happened? Distracted, they looked, they had a couple seconds to regain composure, get a little more blood in their brain, and that was enough for them to realize that they were out of control. We'll talk about more about anger here in a little bit. So the emotion, it's not the event, it's how we interpret it. There's primary emotions, there's secondary emotions. It's not the event, it's how we interpret it. Now, we always say anger is a secondary emotion. What does that mean? Yeah. There's something else going on. When they're yelling at you, there's something else going on. It is a derivative. Sometimes anger and fear, it is a disguise, definitely. You have two college roommates that get into a fight because the roommate was eating their Cheerios too loud.